JC Corcoran Podcast.
Hi. We're going to talk about some nice things today. Did you know that? Sure. Some special things for you. Some special things for me, too. And we have a special guest here today. Can you say that, guest? Sure. I knew you could. We're going to talk today to a musician, a guy who plays the bass. And you know what a bass is, don't you? Can you say that? Don't? Sure you can. Hello. How are you?
You think you get somebody to give me a cup of coffee or something?
You're not used to getting up early, huh?
I'm not here yet.
What time do you usually get up?
I usually get up when the sun is warm, like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I like to get up around 6:30.
That's insane. You're stupid.
Huh?
You should sleep late, man. It's just much easier on your constitution.
We're going to talk about your bass and how big it is and things like that. It looks like a violin, but it's bigger, isn't it?
It's a hell of a lot bigger.
Can you say...
Violin's a little wimpy thing.
Can you say wimpy?
Wimpy.
That's right.
Wimpy thing.
I like the way you say that. Did you know that?
I do now. The hell, you're easily amused, aren't you? I say wimpy, wompy, wambly.
I know what you mean. You know something? I like what your face does when you play. It kind of gets all sort of squinched up.
Yeah,
know?
Somebody told me once that my face, when I play the bass, it looks like some sort of a big jellyfish or something like that. It just keeps moving.
Sure.
You can never identify what the face is. And real ugly sometimes. And real weird, it looks like a fruit or something. Like it just keeps flashing at you. Like
yeah.
Somebody rubbing
sure.
rubber or something.
Tell me some of the things you think about when you're playing, though, the images. Because, of course, when you're playing, I thought of things like sheep and things like that, little candies, fresh little candies and things like that. Do you think of those things, too?
Oh, I basically think about my financial situation. I count every, like, beat I play, every note I play, and I figure out how many notes I'm giving into the space, you know, out into space.
Sure.
For how much I'm getting paid, and I am working cheap.
Must be hard to sort of struggle to get your band together.
Oh, man, especially when you be lifting piano, man. That is the worst.
Huh?
I worked as a mover for 2 years while I was first getting a band together, and I've also made pizza.
But now you're playing music, and so the story sort of has a happy ending, doesn't it?
It's sort of a happy ending. We just got the shaft from a record company that had promised to pay us a certain amount of royalties. And
oh,
then they
that's
said
too bad.
All sorts of stuff went into pre-production and charged
that's
us for typewriters.
Bad.
They be charging us for stamps, they say, and stuff. How much
sure.
is a stamp, you know?
Sure.
I'll buy the goddamn stamp, you
sure.
know?
Sure, I know what you mean. Well, I'm sure a lot of people out there would like to know how a big, strong guy like you plays the bass so well, gets to be so strong, what it eats to be like that. Can you tell us that?
Well, I eat a lot of garbage food, but I mainly subsist on stuff like sandwiches and tins of tuna, chicken, something like that from a chain store, soda.
Do you ever have Egg McMuffin?
Sometimes, Dad, or cheese prenies.
Can you say Egg McMuffin?
Egg McMuffin, yeah.
Well, I know what I'd like to do now. I'd like to hear you play some bass. Would you
yeah,
like
I'd like to do that.
Well, we're going to go to the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, no, man, it's too early for me. I gotta drive.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Friday, March 24th, 2023, 6 days until opening day. You're at jconthelive.com. And I need to make a confession here, and that is when you're a one-man band, there isn't a producer, a couple of co-hosts sitting around. You're just sitting here by yourself. I'm running all the controls. I'm doing everything myself. And so if you make a mistake, it's by the time it posts, it's too late to do anything about it. And it was called to my attention, actually, I noticed it first, and then a couple of other people noticed it too, that apparently I have been one day off for the last 2 or 3 days. So I've been giving you the wrong date. like on Wednesday, I said, I think it was the 22nd, I was telling you the 23rd. And then yesterday was the 23rd. I was actually telling you it was the 24th. Today is actually the 24th. So the only problem now is that when we post this thing, we're probably going to have to post it as March 25th, which of course is a Saturday. We don't do a podcast on a Saturday, but if we don't change it to Saturday, it's going to screw up the computer and it's going to screw up the website and they're not going to know. And the whole process is going to get screwed up. And so that's the reason why, because I'm a dumbass sitting here. And also, I swear to God, these steroids, man, did I have a bad day yesterday. Whew. Man, when I bring out the oxycodone, you know, when the heavy artillery comes out, you know it hurts. And I don't know why, but I got that hip injection the other day. And yesterday, the amount of pain was indescribable. And so I know you're not supposed to do this, but I did it anyhow. So I took one of those, pills that scare me. Those things really scare me to death. I always hear about people taking oxycodone and OxyContin and everything for, you know, recreational use, for enjoyment. And I don't understand it. I don't understand how you get pleasure out of that feeling of having like kerosene going through your veins. It is really an unpleasant feeling. I really don't like it, but it gets the job done. Then you throw a couple of shots of tequila on that. And like I said, I know you're probably not supposed to do that, but it works for me. So that was a very lame attempt at conjuring an up excuse for the fact that I gave you the wrong dates for a couple of days there. But we're back on, like I said, I know that today is the 24th, but it'll probably be listed as the 25th when you punch it up on your very own home computer. And with all that in mind, we move forward. And what a shitty looking way to start the weekend, even though things are going to recover. But the rain continues today and the flooding, and man. And also, the further south of St. Louis you go, the worse it's going to be. But it is snowing and icing in Dallas, Texas this morning, and they got severe storms all over the south, so it could be a lot worse. Let's just put it that way. That basketball game last night, I don't know, because I knew I was knocking off early last night because they took all that stuff to knock myself out because couldn't do anything anyhow because my hip was hurting so bad. So I don't know. You know, I recorded the game, and I don't know why, but I had the presence of mind to say, you know what, tack on an extra half an hour on this thing. So record what would be the news, you know, normally, but why do I have this funny feeling this is going to run long? And man, am I glad I did, because I was able to get up this morning and actually look at the overtime period. And this thing with Jimmy Kimmel, who refuses to acknowledge the existence of Gonzaga University, is hilarious. He says that there is no such place. The only time you hear about him is during the NCAA basketball tournament every March. And he just refuses to accept the idea that the place actually exists. So then they go to the video of the newscasters in Washington. So I think it's Portland, Oregon? Where the hell is Gonzaga now? I used to know it, now I forgot. Spokane, Washington. Spokane. And I'll tell you, the late night television talk shows this week have been on fire. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, and Kimmel has been great. Even Jimmy Fallon, who I don't normally find myself entertained by, has been good. And Al Franken has just been ripping it up this week on The Daily Show.
And finally, here's some fascinating news from the worlds of science and music.
And the Associated Press says scientists analyzed DNA from Beethoven's hair nearly 200 years after his death. They're looking for clues about the celebrated composer's many health problems and his hearing loss. They found information about the liver disease that is widely believed to have killed him, according to a study. It includes a genetic risk for liver disease, plus a liver-damaging hepatitis B infection in the last months of his life.
I am so impressed by the science, but do we really need to know how Beethoven died? I feel like most people living in the 19th century died from living in the 19th century. Now, if you're wondering how someone was able to get Beethoven's hair, remember, he was deaf. It's not, you know, it's not too hard to sneak up on a deaf person playing piano and snip off a souvenir. Now, I'll admit, I did the exact same thing multiple times, mainly to Ray Charles. Hey, look, if we have the guy's DNA, I can't be the only one thinking it. Let's make a Beethoven Jurassic Park. I, for one, would love to see the brilliant composer of the Fifth Symphony eat Jeff Goldblum. Da 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 da.
Da 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 da. Oh, man. And then you've got Ron DeSantis, who is emerging as one of the great boogeymen in American politics right now. And Kimmel was all out of that last night.
Meanwhile, Trump's chief Republican rival, Governor Ron DeSantis, is busy waging culture war in Florida. Remember the Don't Say Gay law they passed last year that bans the teachers from talking about gender or sexual orientation with kids from kindergarten through third grade? Well, now the State Board of Education wants to expand that through high school. Do you know Florida has high schools? It's, they do. But not every politician in the Sunshine State is working on stupid stuff. Some of them are working on even stupider stuff.
Bob McKee, Florida Station of Counties, waves in opposition. Pamela Birch Fort, Florida State Conference of NAACP Branches, waves in opposition. Anita Dick, opponent. Waves in opposition. Holden Hiscock is also in opponent. Waves in opposition.
See, now I thought Holden, I always figured Holden would be.
I don't know why stuff like that continues to entertain me. I mean, I can remember seeing a Leave It to Beaver episode when I was about 6 or 7 years old where Gilbert convinced Beaver to start playing with the phone. And I thought it was funny then, and here I am now still laughing at this phony name stuff. Man. And people have a tendency to blame comedians, and especially people like Howard Stern, for turning the entire world into just one rude place. But the world was on its way to that anyhow. Howard just sped it up a little bit and exacerbated it a little bit, because if you start looking around, there's plenty of people who are pretty fucking rude who have made millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars just by sort of propagating that whole idea of, well, you know, I don't take any shit from anybody, like Judge Judy.
Yeah, we've all been waiting all week to find out what's going to happen with Trump. But in the meantime, Trump's actually been practicing for his trial. He got some very famous legal expert to help him out. Look at this footage from Trump's mock trial.
Now you tell me your side of the story.
So here's the story. Did nothing wrong.
When did you start to do business with her?
I don't have a timeline, but maybe I do in my own mind.
Are you trying to sound like a fool?
The best lawyers in the world have looked at it.
I don't care.
It's a hoax.
And you're a moron. So's your mother.
Wait a minute.
We are done.
All right, Judy, we'll make an exception in your case, as long as you're dealing with the Cheeto Bandito there. All right. Sunday night, CNN is running the Mark Twain Prize celebration of Adam Sandler, and you might not like Adam Sandler that much, but I think the show sure looks good because they have so many big names showing up to honor him, and those shows are usually pretty good. We have the fourth season premiere of Succession Sunday night on HBO. Also, the premiere of this Eva Longoria Searching for Mexico thing. I love Eva Longoria, and she's so pretty. Oh, my God. And I love Mexican food, and I love Mexico. Well, I like Mexico the way it was before it was taken over by the drug cartels. But I love the culture of Mexico, and I'm going to give that a try. If you remember Kyle Mooney, who left Saturday Night Live last year, he's the guy with the glasses and the stringy hair. He's directing a disaster comedy called Y2K. Meanwhile, Robert Downey Jr. in talks to star in a remake of the Alfred Hitchcock classic Vertigo. And when you see guys like Bob Odenkirk, Chicago boy, he's having a great, great time, best time of his life. But you got to remember, all these people started out together. Everybody knew each other back in the Second City days. Bob Odenkirk was on stage with Chris Farley at Second City for a couple of years. And they used to do that motivational speaker thing then, which he, of course, eventually brought to Saturday Night Live and one of the most memorable characters ever. Also got a new John Wick movie coming out today. Elton John just learned from his famous collaborator Bernie Taupin that the song Rocket Man was inspired by Ray Bradbury's short story of the same name. It's about how, in the future, being an astronaut is an everyday job. Guy showed up at Rihanna's house to propose to her this week. Her security guys called the cops, who briefly detained him. Since he didn't break any laws, they let him go. But they said, don't come back. But that's how guys are. Yeah, I'll just drive over to Rihanna's house and pop the question. And Cheryl Lee Ralph from Abbott Elementary says, a famous TV judge sexually assaulted her once by ramming his tongue down her throat. She didn't name the guy, but she said it wasn't Judge Mathis. Wow, here come the judge. And how old is Springsteen now? Like 72, 73? He still looks fantastic. And now it turns out that he only eats one meal a day and has now convinced Chris Martin to do the same thing. Chris Martin says it works really great. All right, birthdays today. The wonderful Jessica Chastain. I think I pretty much adore anything she's ever been in. Zero Dark 30, Zookeeper's Wife, The Martian, 46 today. Peyton Manning, 47. Allison Hannigan from How I Met Your Mother, 49. Jim Parsons from Big Bang, 50. Laura Flynn Boyle. I just don't picture her and Jack Nicholson together for some reason. I don't know. 53. Kelly LeBrock, who in her prime might have been one of the most beautiful women ever to walk the earth, but she squandered all of that. 63. Nina, 99. Luftballoon, 63. Tommy Hilfiger is 72. Birthdays for Saturday. Katherine McPhee, yes. 39. Danica Patrick, yes. 41. Sarah Jessica Parker, 58. Bonnie Bedelia from Parenthood and the Die Hard movie, 75. Elton John, 76. Paul Michael Glazer, that would be Starsky from Starsky and Hutch, is 80. Gloria Steinem is 89. Gene Shalit, who I forgot, still alive. He used to do our show a lot back in the 80s. He was a riot. 97 tomorrow. And on Sunday, Keira Knightley turns 38. Leslie Mann, married to Judd Apatow, 40-year-old virgin, knocked up. This is 40. We were talking a little bit about Albert Brooks online on my Facebook page, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, because it was the anniversary of the release of Defending Your Life the other day. And there's a lot of Albert Brooks fans out there. And he was so good as Paul Rudd's father in This Is 40. Anyhow, Leslie Mann, 51 today. Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos, 57. Jennifer Grey, 63. Lisa Gibbons, 66. Martin Short, 73. Vicki Lawrence, 74. Steven Tyler, 75. Diana Ross, 79. Bob Woodward, 80. Nancy Pelosi, 83. Alan Arkin, one of the founding SCTV members, 89. And Sandra Day O'Connor, first woman on the Supreme Court bench, 93. A lot of birthdays today. And also at least one mention of somebody who passed away 2 years ago today. One of the greatest ambassadors for hockey, and especially blues hockey, that we've ever had around here. And that, of course, Bob Plager.
Tell me your best story about the deteriorating condition of the old arena. Almost everybody has some sort of a story about, you know, just walking to the bathroom and coming face to face with a giant rat or something. What's your best story about the old barn?
Well, towards the end, they knew it was coming down or they were going to move, so they didn't do any work down there. It was just all patchwork. And it was every time it rained and you go in our bathroom and it was the sewers that back up. All was bad. And then they had on the board and the cockroaches, and you had your pin in there, and it was a $5 every week, and the biggest one you put your name under. But you go in there when Harry Arnest was there and the lights were all off, everything was on. Yeah. You go in the morning, you flip on a light, and you could see the cockroaches running around.
Oh, wow.
But it was a great building out the rink and the seats, but
don't get behind it.
Do you think they did that just to put more fight into you guys? Just to make you mad when you went out on the ice?
Oh, I don't know. We were always mad anyways. We didn't need the cockroaches.
What a character that guy was, but we lost him 2 years ago today. Thank God he held on long enough to see the Blues win the Stanley Cup. Speaking of sports, you've heard by now that Adam Wainwright is going to start the season on the IL because he has a groin injury And people who already, for whatever reason, don't like the idea of the World Baseball Classic started jumping up and down immediately going, see, we fucking told you, we told you. But the truth of the matter is, the injury was in the weight room, basically. And he's 42 years old, and shit happens at spring training. It's a guarantee that you're going to lose players in spring training. It happens every year to every team. And this could have happened at any time. And just a reminder that if you plan on trying to hear the Cardinals-Astros game on Sunday, you got to get up early. 10:05 St. Louis time, they're playing the Cards and the Astros Sunday. And then, as we said, one more exhibition game on Monday, and that is against the Orioles down in Sarasota. I'm actually going to go to that game. And then they start packing everything up. That's the big story, by the way, the migration north. I mean, the players have to do all that, obviously, and that's all, you know, packing up their stuff. A lot of guys rent condos and homes for spring training. So to get all your stuff out of there, usually the wives and the girlfriends have a lot to do with, you know, executing the move. But it's the equipment guys. Oh, my God. You know, you got a semi-trailer. Let me tell you, bats, especially big boxes of bats, are heavy. All of that equipment, all of those uniforms, all of the stuff, then all gets packed in there. And then it's, you know, like a 18-hour ride back to St. Louis. And then they got to unpack it all. So they'll be doing all of that as soon as that game is over on Monday. Opening day is Thursday. They'll probably have a workout Wednesday afternoon at Busch Stadium. And right now, by the way, the weather looks like shit. Wednesday night and Thursday, they're talking about a lot of rain in the area, but you know, they'll change that forecast a half a dozen times between now and Thursday. But right now, at least it won't be cold, according to this forecast. So if they can play between the raindrops, temperatures look like it'll be somewhere in the low 60s for Thursday. But like I said, this is only Friday, and that forecast is going to change a lot. Back on this date, 1985 was a very big day for me because I purchased my very first house. I closed on the first house I ever had. It was in Baldwin, right over there near 141 in Big Bend. I was there for a couple of years before moving to Chesterfield. Tom Snyder did his last show on network TV on this date back in 1999. He was replaced by Craig Kilborn. On this date in 1993, one of the most storied and horrifyingly disgusting stories ever to come out of local news. And I was there at the time. And basically what happened is, I don't know. The manager at Channel 4 was always looking for some sort of wacky stunt to pull. I worked at Channel 5 for, was it 5 or 6 years? And the accent was on solid reporting, solid journalism, good, good stuff. And there was a reason. It wasn't an accident. It was not an accident that Channel 5's ratings were 3 times what anybody else had. But my job got cut over there, so I took about a year off and ended up going over to Channel 4. So I'm over there sitting there, and they brought in this guy. I don't know. I could just make the story really short and say he was insane. It was one of these guys. They brought in his news director who was just basically attempting to reinvent the wheel. And almost everything he started employing, all of his ideas, would just send people back to their desks, shaking their heads collectively and wondering what the fuck is going on in this place and who is this fucking guy that they hired. Everything was a gimmick. Everything was a gimmick. And those of you who were around and paying attention at the time will remember this story. There were, I mean, for decades, there have been stories about these priests over in Belleville who have been, shall we say, checking out little boys for a very, very long time. And I'll make this story as short as possible, but Channel 4 hires a male prostitute, rents a hotel room in the Adams Mark, which is directly across the street from Channel 4. They bug the room and they set up a camera up on the, I don't know, like the 10th floor of the Channel 4 building there at 1 Memorial Drive where KMOX was at the time too. And they get a camera with a long lens and they have the room bugged. They have the drapes open in the room and they're shooting across the park there and into the hotel room of the Adams Mark. And they've set this priest up and they're going to catch him having sex with this male prostitute that they hired. Well, I'm not exactly sure what happened, but something went terribly wrong. The story never ended up airing, and pretty much a couple of fall guys lost their jobs. And this news director, eventually, he got smoked too, but it was just crazy. So now they bring in a new news director, and he was great. One of the guys they brought in was a guy by the name of Tom Bell. And Tom Bell had been in Detroit, and he had a couple of young kids at the time. And Tom was a no-nonsense guy, good, solid guy. And I think media, and that would include radio and television news, I think, this is my opinion, needs both kinds of people. You need some people who are a little wacky, but you also need the really, really solid guys. And if you have both of them, I'm not talking about this guy who set up the priest, but you need people with, you know, progressive ideas in a television newsroom or at a radio station. But then you also need the really solid people who rely on hard evidence and good research, you know, and just really, really tried and true methods. You need both. And Tom Bell was one of those guys. And like I said, he had some young kids back then. And one of those young kids turned out to be Kristen Bell, who, of course, has starred in every movie made for the last 15 years. But Tom was a good, solid guy. I like that word, solid. And also on this date, 1985, I'd only been in St. Louis about a year, and I used to go to the Big Red football games, and through my binoculars, I used to watch this blonde cheerleader for the Cardinals, and the only way I could really identify her when I would go on the radio on Monday mornings and talk about it is that she had a green cooler. So, you know, once a quarter, the cheerleaders, they would rotate them all. You'd be down in this corner, and then the quarter would be over, and then they'd move that whole squad over, and they had four squads, and they just moved them around during the game. And I was like, it's the girl with the green cooler. That's all I can tell you. And I just went on and on and on and on about this. And on this date, 1985, after many, many heartfelt appeals on the air, shall we say, the girl with the green cooler called me at the radio station and said, I'm the girl. And she was lovely, and I took her out to lunch a couple of days. I won't embarrass her by saying her full name. Her name was Kim, and she was very, very nice. And I thought it was very, very big of her to, you know, sort of go along with the joke. I wasn't joking, by the way. She just thought it was a big goof. And the relationship didn't really go anywhere. But it was a good story. And we had a nice time. And she was very pretty and very nice. Jackson Brown played the Fox Theater on this date in 1996. One of the greatest times I ever had was on this date in 2007. It was the 70s Superstar Explosion of Soul at the Fox Theater. You know, the Shy Lights, the Temptations, the Stylistics, and about a half a dozen other R&B bands. And man, were they good. Man, were they good. And I should tell you that there were about 4,000 people in the Fox Theater that night, maybe 20 white people. And me, my wife, and my mother-in-law were three of those 20 white people in the place. And I will tell you that the crowd that night thought it was so cool that we were there. Because when I told people I was going to this thing, I had some friends that said, whoa, really? You're going to go in that place? Like, fuck yes. And we came strolling in, you know, sitting next to Julius Hunter for all those years made me sort of automatically cool. And by that time, I had actually moved over to Channel 2 and was doing a segment called What's on My Mind. These little 90-second vignettes that I would write, these little features. And I'm walking through, and these whole black men are like, what's on my mind? What's up? They didn't know my name, but they do, what's on my mind? It was a great evening, and I cannot even begin to tell you how great that music is. And also, 1985, on this date, a lot of things happened on this date. And one of them was a really screwy story. This is honest to God true. Every part of this is honest to God true. So I'd been in St. Louis about a year, and we had one saleswoman at the radio station by the name of Jane. And Jane was, she knew I was single. And she said, I got this girl that you might want to meet. I'm, I think, 31 at the time. And this girl was, I believe, 24. And she had just finished college and had just moved back in with her parents. Very nice neighborhood off Clarkson Road. So Jane sets up a lunch with me and Leslie. And I still remember it was at Telenia's. And we really hit it off, and it was really nice. And I said, okay, well, can I get your number? Can I take you out? So I took her out one night. We had a really, really nice time. And then a couple of weeks after that, the general manager of the radio station was having a big party at his house down in Oakville. And so I say to Leslie, it's going to be like one of these open house type parties that starts out at like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's a barbecue and the whole thing. And there's everybody from the station is going to be there and all these fun people. And would you like to go? Sure. Absolutely. So I pick her up at her house out on Clarkson. Her father, an ex-Marine, comes to the door. I shake his hand. I'm very polite and respectful. Leslie and I get in the car. We take off to this party at like, I don't know, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm not casting aspersions on Leslie, but for whatever reason, she, shall we say, let her hair down that night. And by 2-3 hours into the party, I'm not sure she knew her own name. She had been, shall we say, significantly been overserved. So now it's getting late, and I keep thinking about this ex-Marine dad back at the house where she's staying with her parents. And like, listen, we need to get, no, I don't want to go. And she's getting very, very affectionate, as some women do. Some women, when they have a lot to drink, become extraordinarily affectionate. And this was what happened to Leslie. So there's, you know, I mean, on one hand, it was sort of enjoyable. And on the other hand, it was like, I got to be careful what I'm doing here. So we get in the car and I start to drive and I don't want to go home yet. I go, well, the only other place we could go is my apartment. You know, let's go to your apartment. We'll go to your apartment. Okay, fine. We go to my apartment. We lay down on the couch and we start watching TV. We're not doing anything. We're just laying on the couch watching TV. And it's about, you know, at this point, it's maybe 10, 10:30. And I'm like, Leslie, we need to go. We need to go. No. And she'd nuzzle in even closer and start hugging me really, really tight. Like I said, a real upside to this thing. At the same time, I was not drunk. And I'm just thinking to myself, I got to get this girl home. So I fall asleep on the couch, wake up about, I don't know, 12:45. I'm like, Leslie, come on, we got to go home. No. And this time, we both fell asleep for good. And at 7:10 the following morning, I get a call from Jane, the woman in our sales department who was the one who originally set us up. JC, where is Leslie? Her father called me and she didn't come home last night. And I look at the clock and I realize it's light outside and it's 10:07. Now Leslie hears as she wakes up. What did we do? Oh my God, what did we do? Oh, I'm going to get in so much trouble. Oh, why didn't you wake me up? I'm like, why didn't I wake you up? And sweat is just pouring off of her brow. She looked like the Robert Hayes character, Ted Stryker, in Airplane, where he starts perspiring and is coming down off his face like they got a hose on him. It's like that song, you know, wake up, little Susie, wake up, you know? So we woke up and I got her home in about 11 seconds. I didn't even stop. I just slowed the car down to about 15 miles an hour and pushed her out and then hit the gas. And you're not going to believe this. I never went back there. Discretion in many cases being the better part of valor. Oh, man. And finally, Arizona Senator Kristen Sinema said the Democrats are a bunch of old dudes eating Jell-O. President Biden responded by saying, that's completely wrong. In fact, Jell-O makes me gassy. I prefer pudding. Glad we cleared that up. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Friday, March 24th, maybe, probably listed as the 25th on your computer screen. 2023. Yes, I got that part right. 6 days until opening day. And our big opening day extravaganza here on the J.C. Corcoran podcast, which we hope you are spreading the word on. Let everybody know. If you got friends, family members, coworkers, whatever it is, people who used to like the old radio show, let them know we're here every morning at 11. You can email me, jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great weekend. Good things are coming perhaps next week. I'll leave it at that. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.